Good evening. It's lovely to be with you. I must say, you guys are, what's the right word to describe you? Just, you've got a life about you. I asked Steve, maybe give me a better sound, please, thank you. I asked Steve, is it always like this? I think I cried through most of your worship. Just such a sense of the presence of the Lord here. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's normal for you, but yeah, the Lord's presence is really strongly upon you as a congregation. It's lovely to see. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lord visits you and stays around for a couple of days, even weeks, and many of Josh Chen come and visit the Southern Cape and visit this congregation to be refreshed. Actually, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, God wants to find a place to rest. He does. He likes to find a place to dwell. And yeah, there's something really special about just your heart posture. Lovely. So getting ready for tonight, I'd like to firstly just thank Steve and Catherine for having us in your home. They're lovely people. And thank you for the gift as well. I won't say what it was. Appreciate that. And also the elders. I spent some time on Saturday with the elders. And man, God's blessed you with good men. Really. Anyone out there? Really good men. And Mornay sends his greetings. So, yeah, we live in the same suburb now. He's back in Melkbos, and so he really sends his love and his greetings. So he really carries you guys in his heart. And then probably some of you do know Lorna, but Lorna, could you stand up? This is my better half. So, yeah. So my name's Grant Baker. I'm in the Sunningdale 830 congregation. I move around quite a bit, but we move around quite a bit. And so we're in many of the Josh Chen congregations, spend quite a bit of time in Oxygen Life as well. They've got 9 congregations. So that's just part of our story. And tonight I'm not going to do a classical preach. I want to tell you a story. Is that okay? And I'm going to throw some scripture in there just to authenticate and give something to chew on. But Lord, tonight, I want to thank you for this moment, and I want to bow before you. And Lord, we want to bow before you. And would you have your way tonight? We ask. Amen. So it's a couple of years back. I'm in Oliver Tambo Airport. I think it's called that. It was called that. And I'm sitting waiting for my flight. I'm reading my Bible. It's been a long day reading my Bible. And in the corner of my eye, I see this big man, broad shoulders. And as he comes closer, he's wearing tight leather pants. Not many of those around. A vest. You can see it like his arms. And shaven, but a big man. I remember looking at him and thinking, this is a proper man. As he walked past me, I looked on his jacket. So I'm now reading my Bible. He didn't even give me a second look. He walks past me, and I see on his jacket, "Your God is dead." Just for some scriptures. Psalm 14 says, the fool says, there is no God. And Romans 1, I love this about Romans 1. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. That's a big one, huh? And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Your God is dead.
It wasn't just a statement, it was an attack. I wrestled with it. Put my Bible away, heading towards the plane. I'm going to tell you the story as accurately as I remember. I get into the plane. It's not a normal plane. There was a time where there were 747s, or it might have been a 777, but 400 plus. I'm guessing between 350 and 400 plus people. So it's a huge Boeing. I get right about two-thirds back. I'm in early, and I'm sitting. I'm pondering on the situation. I'm thinking, your God is dead, and there he comes in, right in the front, and I'm watching him. And it's like a long watch. I can see him coming down the aisle. He's looking around. Eventually, he's coming closer and closer. He's about 30 meters from me, and he pulls out his ticket, and he starts to look at his ticket, and he's checking out the different chairs, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, I think you know what's going to happen. He comes right up to me, looks at the ticket, looks at the number, looks at me, and Yari comes, steps past me like this, comes and sits next to me, and I'm going, oh God. And I'm thinking, like, honestly, I'm going to try and tell you what I experienced. I was a little bit agitated, I was intimidated. I'm thinking, should I get my Bible out and read it in front of him? And I pondered on it, and I thought, no, that's not the Lord. Okay. Then I'm thinking, must I share the gospel with him? I'm thinking, how am I going to share the gospel with this guy? It's like, how are you going to, you know, just break that veil and speak to him? So I'm wrestling with this, and this is not just for a few minutes. Like, I'm up and down in my thinking. I'm sitting. And eventually, I feel like the Lord said to me, just fix your eyes on me. Just turn your eyes away from him, fix them on me. And so I just began to practice the presence of the Lord. I began to just look to him. And actually, as I did this, he became smaller and God became bigger. And I'm doing this and I'm not thinking anything. And out of nowhere, I get this thought. He loves philosophy. I'm thinking, he loves philosophy. And I became aware of a quiet confidence. It's like my inner heart stilled, and I just had a sense the Lord speaking to me. Can I give you another teaching moment? Okay, so I'm going to carry on with the story. The scripture says in Acts 1, verse 8, it says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, it's not like Clark Kent, Superman, where he goes from man to beast in a moment. It's like when the power comes on you, I'm not sure what the local, I actually wanted to find out, what do you guys relate to the youngsters in terms of superheroes? Who's like the superhero of today? Who's the Clark Kent of, sorry? Jesus. Okay, besides Jesus. Okay, obviously it's not clear, okay. Yeah. You've been put forward. But so when the Holy Spirit comes on, your power comes on you, it's not like a Superman suit. It's actually a shift in a quiet confidence. That's it. Yeah. It still requires faith and still requires risk, but there's something of a restfulness, and that's the clothing of the Holy Spirit. That's my experience. Because people often don't know, what happens when the power comes on you? The power is on me. And the power is there to be a witness of him, a person. So it's not to say the right thing. It's not to be strong and forceful. It's actually to be a witness of him. And so here I'm sitting, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I do this? So I don't start a conversation. I don't look him in the eyes because he's not engaging with me at all. So I just lean over. And I say this. I see that you love philosophy. I haven't introduced myself. I just lean over and say, hey, I see that you love philosophy.
So, and I come back. Now I'm waiting. What's going to happen now? I'm sort of like, you know, those moments. So. And I see him like, he doesn't say anything either. He leans back my way and he says, how did you know that? And I knew it's my moment. So now I'm thinking, I can't now, I need to make the most of this moment. And he's a big man. Eh? So he's up here. I want to be conservative. I think he's 6'6", but it looked 7 foot. But I reckon 6'6 would be accurate. So I'm looking up at him when we sit. He's not here, he's up there. And but I thought I need to look into his eyes. So I lean forward, I get my head right down like this, I look in his eyes, and I'm not like very courageous. Seriously, I mean like this is me being like I'm supercharged now. And I look in his eyes and I say this, the living God told me. So I can see he's like, he got shaken. And as I say that, the next thought comes to me. And you've just broken up with your girlfriend. So I say to him, you've just broken up with your girlfriend. And then I get another thought. And I'm thinking, like, if this is wrong, bro, I'm, like, in deep trouble tonight in this thing. So the last thought is, and rock music has defined your life. And God's calling you to come to Christ. So I knock all three. He's stunned. I can see he's, like, stunned. There's no engaging. Like, he's like, poker-faced. So I'm not sure what to do. I think I've done what I'm meant to do. I'm sitting there, and the plane flight went really quickly. Like, this is like, we fly into Cape Town, so we're sort of starting to come down. And I would like to be able to tell you more what happened in those awkward moments where we just sat there. Now it's time to disembark. And he doesn't know that I've seen that thing on his back. He doesn't know that. And I'm on the aisle side, he's on the inside. And so I'm obviously trying to be as good a Christian as I can be, being a witness now. So I stand up and I make way for him. I want him to go first because I'm going to, like, you know. But he knows what's on his back and he goes, no, you go for it. And I thought, not a chance, bud. I know what's on your back. No, you go for it. No. And you know what I realized? He was ashamed of what was written on his back because he encountered the living Christ on that plane. And you know what is lovely is I was not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful story of just the power of God being demonstrated? I think the Lord did this for him and he did it for me. Did it for me. Because I wouldn't in myself, in my own strength, be able to face that thing. And there's something I've learned about God is that our inadequacy, our vulnerability is actually a doorway into being clothed with something from Him. And so when you don't know or you're childlike, actually that's the way through. Didn't get on really well, but I think it's really encouraging for those out there that actually there's something about that not knowing what to do in the Lord that actually enables us to find God and obey Him. I'm wondering what happened to him. I'd love to meet him again. Or find out the story. But that is one of the highlights for me. Okay, so, my watch stopped. No, it hasn't stopped. Okay, great. One of the things is, I'm going to try and land this. One of the things I want to encourage you with is that Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared
in advance for us to do. That's a great rest for my soul. And it's not just the work I've described now. It's everything that's actually of worth in our lives and for the Lord. To think that God would plan, think ahead, orchestrate, bring together for those that are in Christ. So that is a planned event. I could tell you so many things in my life that were planned by God. You know, I've got a lovely business called Rent a Cheapy Car Hire. I didn't plan it. I thought I was the entrepreneur. I thought that I saw the opportunity. I thought that this thing was brought together by something of the skill of my understanding of how things work. But actually later on, the Lord showed me, no, I brought that thing together for you. I planned it for you. So anyway, I just want to say to you, would you rest in that actually God knows where you're at and that He's a Father? He knows what you need. And so even things like opportunities to share the gospel, even things like work, even things that are for us important. I see the mic doesn't like this corner here. God plans ahead for us. And I've learned to rest more in that. More. That I can lean on a Father that thinks ahead and purposes our lives. And this event was definitely one of those things where God planned it and went ahead of myself and Him for His own glory. And so there is that beauty about that. And then I want to land on this scripture for tonight. And that's in the book of John. And I'm sharing this scripture with you because I want you to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in how God works through us, but also how He is the helper, how He comes alongside of us, how God actually comes to be with us so we can obey God, in a sense, by God. It's actually God helping us love God. And let's read the scriptures together and I'll maybe go with you. So we're in, if you can put John chapter 14, and I'm reading from verse 8. And this is Philip, one of the disciples, asked the Lord this question. Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? I'll just hold a bit there. We know that the Father who's in heaven wasn't actually in him in a sense that the Father left heaven to be in him. We know that the Father was in heaven while he was on earth, but by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the Father was in him. It's almost like we know that God is three, but he's so one that the Holy Spirit can enable the Father to be in him while the Father is in heaven. It's a mystery. It's hard to fully give this articulation. But I want you to understand that the Father's presence became real by the person of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it beautiful? Then he says this. Let's go to, stay in chapter 14. Go to verse 18. In chapter 14. Now this is Jesus speaking again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. So he's talking about his departure, his death, his departure. But you will see me.
because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know. So you'll have revelation, you'll have understanding. You will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So he's saying, in the same way the Father lived in me, there's coming a day that you will live in me, and I will live in you. Imagine, they're probably hearing this for the first time. They're not getting it. This is new for them. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Can you see that? So the Holy Spirit, the person, actually comes to make his home with us, and he brings the Father and Son. It's a great mystery, but a beautiful reality. And so to get to know the Holy Spirit is an important part of our journey with him. Because he's the one who enables you to see Christ. He's the one who enables you to perceive the Father. And the Father comes to us and the Son comes to us by the Holy Spirit. God with us. You know, I want to respond to that prophetic word we had. You know, even he said this, and I can read it for you, but I'll just quote out of the scriptures in my heart. But it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And it's by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5, that the love of God is poured out into our hearts. You know that it's not, I don't know how to land this theologically, but I think it would be fair to say the Holy Spirit enables us to receive the love of the Father. A lot of people struggle to receive God's love because they don't understand it's another that enables you. Yes, you open your heart. Yes, you say, God, I want to love you and I want to be loved by you. Yes, there is that posture, but it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to receive the love of the Father. I've heard many people say this, that we don't teach the art of receiving enough. It's like we I think as a generation we want to do. But to be and to receive. And I can't go down this road now, but you'll find if you read through the epistles, I find it's interesting how Paul will labor who God is. His character, his nature, what he's done, and then he will address what we are meant to do. Like if you look at the book of Ephesians, he starts only in chapter 4. This is how you respond. In Colossians, it's chapter 3. In Romans, he lays the foundations, and only in chapter 6 does it begin to, in my mind, this is now how you respond. Receiving is a critical part of the walk in the Lord. But to acknowledge him, to know the Holy Spirit, is a important part of our walking with God. You know, this understanding of the Holy Spirit coming on you, that's not just for special occasions of ministry. It's actually meant to be a part of where there's a pattern of that in our lives. So when you worship, in some ways, there's a sense of the Holy Spirit coming on you. Because Philippians 2 says we worship by the Spirit. So yes, you worship, I know that. And the elders encourage you to come to the front. But it's by the Spirit that we worship. So often I'm not waiting for a feeling, but often I'll ask the Lord, Lord, this morning, what does it look like? What would you want me to pray for this morning? How would you want me, Lord, to respond to you in worship, in my prayer? And so what am I doing is I'm practicing the Lord's presence. I'm acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's by the Spirit that I'm now approaching God through Christ. Is it landing for you? Am I working you or is it? Huh? So you know what I'd like to do this evening is I'd like to give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come on people. I'd like to give him an opportunity to administrate the Father's love. So it's by another that you're enabled to receive. Yes, so you say, yes, Father, I want to respond to who you are. But it's out of him. It's out of the outpouring of the Spirit. It's almost like the heart of God is passed on to us by his very Spirit. Yeah, my life's been changed by an understanding of his upright love. I say his upright love because his love for me through the years. God is for me the most kind person I know. But he's also severe. And he's taken me to places where I thought he would never take me. Because he's after me being transformed into the image of his son. And he will in some ways, his love is not just soft and kind and accepting. It is that. But his love is a love that will transform us. But if his love is that, it's been a massive, massive factor of who I've become today, knowing the love of God, to rest in the affection of a father, to rest in the knowledge that I don't have control over tomorrow, but I rely upon who you are. I rely upon your love, knowing the severity of your love and the kindness of your love. That we need the love of God. And I don't want to go too soft tonight, but you need a revelation of his affection. You need a revelation of God's kindness and his compassion for you and his thoughts about you and his nearness to you that you might out of that trust him. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit. Christianity has to be real. It has to be the substance. You know, people often ask, well, I want to feel God. God can be physical, can be, but what he loves is faith. And faith sees him and acknowledges him to be here. Faith responds to him. Faith is a sense in your spirit that he's present and faith responds to him. There are times for our sakes that God will actually tangibly come on someone. Now we don't rely upon that as the basis of our faith. But the Holy Spirit is substance. He is substance. There's a substance to him. And people will encounter the substance of the Holy Spirit when he works. That's an important thing to remember. because I'm not sure what God's going to do tonight. But we don't look at someone else's experience and judge our faith based on that. Because someone's experience of God is their experience of God. That's not God. Hello? So people have different experiences. The real issue is your encountering of Him and the substance of who He is, the reality of who He is, and your response to Him. We learn that. We learn to live by faith. Okay, Lord, I'm not really sure. I don't really want to just carry on talking. I feel like I've spoken enough. I'm not really sure who you want to minister to tonight, but I do want to really open up the curtains for you. And there are probably many that, yeah, that actually need an encounter with the love of God tonight through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to invite those that are aware that as I'm speaking about that, I think I need to respond to that. I need to respond because I need to be enabled to receive the Father's love and to respond to Him. I need that power. So I'm going to make a call quite soon. But before I make that call, is there somebody here tonight that you've walked away from the Lord? Or you've actually come here tonight to make right with Him? Or you want to respond to the gospel? You heard this, what I shared tonight, and you're going,